Welcome to our evening vespers. Please join me in the confession of sin as you find it on page 120. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us.
Lift up your hearts with comfort and joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Seated for the lesson. The word of God for our meditation this evening is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Colossae, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen. Roughly 100 years ago, the great illusionist Harry Houdini was always fascinated with what happens after death and whether or not there is any way of contacting people who have died in the life beyond. And he was very fascinated with the occult and mediums and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on this. And in his will, he dedicated a large portion of his $7 million estate, which today would be worth obviously a lot more than that. He gave that to his wife that included at the beginning of it a very special request, and that is that she would continually try to seek out mediums to see if she could contact him once he had died. And he gave her a special code word, a phrase that he would use so that she would know she wasn't being duped by some medium. And so once he had died, and he died young because of one of his tricks, because of that, he left this idea behind that she should try. And she went all over the place for 10 years contacting different mediums all around the country and organizing little seances to try and contact him after he died. And of course, finally gave up, and none of it came true. In the meantime, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, some estimate maybe in the millions of dollars. Think about all the fame that he had. His name is still recognized today. And all the glory that he had. And yet to take all of that and the wealth he accumulated from that and just blow it on something so absolutely frivolous. Something so empty after his death. The glory that we can have in this world, as great as it can ever be, is finally very fleeting. Dr. C.F.W. Walther says this, "Like soap bubbles the children blow, they shine and sparkle for a while, but then they pop into thin air." That's the glory that we can get in this life. Solomon calls it the grasping for wind. All the stuff you can try to accumulate and all the things you can try to make this life about for yourself, he says ultimately it's grasping for wind. I remember years ago, in the 1960s, there was a very famous musician by the name of Mitch Ryder, wrote a number of big popular hits. By the 1980s, they found him driving a forklift at a Home Depot in Colorado. How quickly the wealth and the fame and the notoriety and the things that we can accomplish in this life, how quickly so many of those things can just fade away. Paul takes and applies the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to each one of us as believers in him. He says this, "Your life is now hidden with Christ in God." That's a very interesting expression. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The Greek word here is the same word from which we get cryptic, the idea of something that is concealed or hidden. It's mysteriously hidden from the eyes. It's something you can't see, and yet it's there. And so your life, he says, is hidden with Christ in God. So the glory that the believer has in Christ is something we can't see now. It's something that's hidden in our faith in Christ. And in the same way that Christ himself is now hidden from the eyes of the world, even so, what we have because of him is hidden with him from the eyes of the world as well. And it's also hidden from our earthly eyes. And sometimes that makes it challenging for us in this life of faith. We'd like to see, we'd like to touch, we'd like to have something tangible in front of us. And yet God continually speaks to us in our faith and says that what we possess in Christ is now hidden from us. It's behind that wonderful veil and up in heaven. And so all that truly motivates and stirs the hearts of believers is something that they can't really see in this life. And sometimes we wonder because it doesn't appear like there's any real great earthly benefit to following Christ and to staying with his word as he commands us to do in all things, including morality. It doesn't seem like it benefits us to stay with our Lord Jesus and what his word teaches us about things. That's hard in this world. The earthly glory that we have here is covered with difficulty and sadness and trouble and sometimes even persecution for our faith. And yet the defining element that makes us connected to that Savior is this humble little simple thing called faith in our hearts that the Holy Spirit has worked in us and keeps going inside of us through word and sacrament. When I was in seminary, I worked at a car dealership, and one day I came into work, and there was a 16-year-old boy standing there, and he was all covered in tar. He was all sprayed with undercoating from a car. And he was working on undercoating cars, something that I would do once in a while too. It was probably the worst job in the shop because you had to really clean yourself afterwards. And some of the other men were picking on him in the shop and making a little bit of fun of him for how he looked. And I met him and talked to him and found out he was the son of the owner of the car dealership. And the owner of the car dealership, his father, had done the same thing to him. He had made him work through every job in the business in order to someday take it over and understand it from the inside out. And so here was this lowly-looking, filthy kid, and yet, because of inheritance, was going to possess the entire shop someday, the entire multi-million-dollar business of that car dealership. But he sure didn't look like it that day when I came into work. And he sure put up with a lot of grief from the people he would someday be the boss over, too. What a picture of the believer in this life. The world spits on us and laughs at us and mocks us for our faith in Christ and makes fun of us. Various forms of persecution that Christians have to go through. We don't look like much in this world. And yet, by faith in that Savior, we possess all things. We possess the glory of heaven. Just think what it would be like if for just two minutes, your loving God allowed you to see and to experience what your glowing body will be like in the resurrection. Just think what that would be like. Or the people that work with you or that are around you. If all of a sudden God allowed the believers in Christ in this world to just have for just 2 minutes the glory of heaven that they're going to have someday. Just think how amazing that would be. Listen to what Paul says to us. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. It's something that's already happened. Your death with him when he went to the cross to atone for all of your sins, you have died with that. And that means we also die to the things of this world and the glory that this world offers us. Jesus once said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we are to die to the things of this life. Now, that doesn't mean we don't care about them. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of them and manage them as stewards and things. But we are to consider ourselves dead toward these things in the world. It doesn't mean that we can't function with them. It doesn't mean that we can't function in the various vocations and things where God places us in this life and to care about how we do things. That's all important, too. God has much to say about that. And yet, to always keep in mind that our real home is the destination of heaven. The real glory that we're living for, the real treasure that should be driving us in this life is what our Savior has come to give us and has given us through faith in him. Back in the 1800s, there were immigrants from Europe, and they wanted to get over here to the New World. And they would often take jobs on ships, cruise ships, and sometimes they were pretty menial, lowly jobs, just in order to be on the ship to finally make it to the new land. And because they were looking forward to possibly getting over here and starting a new life and all the wonderful things they'd heard about America, they probably did some of their jobs of mopping the decks and cleaning bathrooms and things. They maybe did them with greater zeal than they ever thought they would have, because they knew what they had waiting for them on the other end. That's sort of a picture of the Christian in this life. In this life, we go about a lot of different tasks and things and vocations and stuff that happens to us. And yet, because we know where we're going through what Christ has done, and we know what's waiting for us, the beautiful promise of a home everlasting in heaven where our bodies will glow forever in the glow of the resurrection. Because of that, that can now motivate us to the various things that we do in life in a whole different way than the world has. We can look at the tasks that we have to do in this life with a whole different set of eyes, knowing what is waiting for us because of our faith in this wonderful Savior. And we can say along with the whole church, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Amen.
My soul and my heart and my spirit have rejoiced.
Christ for the Kyrie.